We live in a busy, busy, busy world. Some of you are anxious. Some of you are here this morning and you're tired. And perhaps this little video will, maybe it'll symbolize your life. Oh, poor thing. But for some of you, you look at that and go, you know, I can identify. I go and I go and I go and I go and I go until finally my little legs can't carry me anymore. And I tumble a little bit and guess what? I get right back home and I start right over again. That symbolizes life, I think, for a lot of us in a lot of ways. And we know this. We know that rest is essential. We know it from Scripture. We know it just from practice of our normal lives, just our routine. We also know it because doctors have told us that rest is essential. We know that it's important, and yet we seem to get so little of what is real rest in our lives. Now, our culture does not promote rest. You know, our society doesn't promote it at all. What our society promotes is distraction and escape. Distraction and escape. That's what the world has to offer us in our busyness. Distraction and escape. What do I mean by distraction and escape? Well, escape, we kind of know this because we got some people right now, you can look, who are out on vacation. It's around spring break time. People kind of leave. They go off on vacation. But how many of you have come back from a week's vacation only to say, wow, I need a vacation to rest up from my vacation? We don't really rest on vacation. As a matter of fact, sometimes it wears us out even more. What do I mean by distraction? Distraction has to do with all those things in our lives that are supposed to make life more, to give us more free time, that are supposed to make life a little bit easier. But they end up being distractions. Television, the internet, cell phones. Oh, cell phones. Mine's sitting right there on the front row. If you are under 50, let me ask you, you don't have to raise your hand because you might be embarrassed. If you're under 50 and you have a smartphone, which would be most of you, I can almost guarantee that the last thing you see at night and the first thing you see in the morning is a screen of your cell phone. You see, we have, this is our means of distraction. It doesn't really give us a lot of rest. As a matter of fact, sometimes it adds greater anxiety to our lives. But this is what the world has to give us. This is the substitute for rest, escape and distraction. And what we want to begin to discover today as we continue in this series on the Ten Commandments, what we want to discover today is God's invitation to rest. And some of you really need to hear that today. Now, the words that we're going to read came from a time before cell phones, before internet, before television, even before black and white television. It came from a time when there was no electricity. People got up when the sun came up and they went to bed when the sun went down. It was a simpler time. And yet, it is into this simple time that God comes and talks about rest. You would think that, oh, well, in our time we could understand that God would talk about rest. But back in a simpler time, pre-Waltons, okay? Some of you are getting, Waltons? What are Waltons? Look it up. Okay. For those of you who don't understand it, you know Google, so look it up. Okay. Pre-Waltons, pre-Andy Griffith. Way before then, limited distractions, limited escape, and yet God still says, hey, listen, I want to invite you into my rest. So this morning we want to look at the fourth commandment. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Your Bible should almost naturally fall there now. We've been there for now our fourth week. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. Give you a moment to find that. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And this is what God's word says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Three questions that we want to attempt to answer this morning based on this text. And the three questions, I'll give them to you up front. First question, what is the Sabbath? Second question, what does it mean to remember the Sabbath? Third question, how do we keep it holy? So let's break those down and look at them individually this morning if we can. What is the Sabbath? Well, if you grew up the way I grew up, you thought the Sabbath was Sunday, right? However, if you go all the way back to Genesis, you discover that it was on the seventh day that God rested. So what is the seventh day? Saturday, right? And so the seventh day is Saturday. So let's try to figure out a little bit of this. The actual, the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, runs from sunset on Friday to nightfall on Saturday. And so it's a particular time. It's actually about 25 hours rather than 24 hours. But that gives you kind of sunset to sunset. So it includes the night, Friday night, what we would consider Friday night, early Saturday morning, and the full day on Saturday. That was the Jewish Sabbath. And we'll talk in a few minutes about why we have the Sunday thing going on. But right now, let's think about Sabbath, because the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew verb, Shavat, and it means to cease, to desist, or to rest. It means stop. Stop. Have your kids ever been going, or your grandkids just ever been going 100 miles an hour? And you grabbed them by the shoulders and just said, stop. Could you just sit down? You're making me tired. Okay, this is kind of what God is saying to us. Stop. Cease. Desist. Quit what you're doing. It's interesting that in the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that most of us know very well, the shepherd leads beside the still waters. Same root word. Some translations call it restful waters. What's the difference? There is a torrential kind of stream that comes through there, and the water is cascading over the rocks. It's the kind of fun thing that you can go and hop in an inner tube with some people and kind of go down the rapids. These aren't rapids. Rapids is our normal life, full of rocks and splashing and turmoil and chaos. That's normal life. But what we're invited to are still and restful waters. That's the invitation. That's the call to Sabbath. And so the Sabbath day is a day that is set aside to cease and desist from work in order to rest and reflect. This is our basic definition, okay? Now we're dealing, obviously, when we're talking about the Sabbath, we're talking about Saturday. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read about God's creative activity. This is where we first encounter the Sabbath, back in Genesis. And this is what we read. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, some of us look at that and we go, well, okay, God had finished and he rested. There's my loophole. I never finish. There's always more to be done. And so obviously, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Hang on a minute. First of all, God is God. And yes, he spoke and brought all these things into creation. The ultimate, the penultimate of his creation, the very top, the last thing that he created were Adam and Eve, were man. And he created them in his image. That's important for us to know. We'll hold on to that. Okay, God did all this. But do you think on the seventh day, God was like, whew, I am worn out. Man, look at all I've done. I am absolutely exhausted. No, God did not rest because he was tired. One of the reasons that God rested was to point us to the rest we find here in the fourth commandment, but it'll also point beyond that, and we'll talk in a moment about that. So hang on to that. All right, but we were created in the image of God. Keep that in mind, because we'll touch on that in a minute. So God stopped. Now, he also said, not only did he stop, it says he blessed the day, and he made it holy. Now, when we think about holy, we're thinking, oh, you know, quiet. You know, something super religious, super spiritual. Holy basically means he set the day apart. From all the rest, from the other six, he set it apart. He made that day special, unique, different from all other days. That's key for us understanding what the Sabbath is. It's not just that God rested. He set it apart. He said, this day is special. This day is different. This day is unique. All right. Now, kind of got that in mind. So very quickly, and I'll do this quickly because this is kind of this would be the footnote on the bottom. Why do we celebrate Sunday as our Sabbath rather than Saturday, okay? So let me just give it to you very, very quickly, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but if you're interested, I'll give you a couple of scripture passages for each one, and you can look it up. The first is that the Sabbath was fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath, okay? We'll talk about that in a minute. And Romans 14, 5 and 6, you can write that down if you want to. So the Sabbath was fulfilled in Jesus. Secondly, Jesus was resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week, and it became, for believers, the Lord's Day. So the Sabbath, that Saturday, became, for believers, the Lord's Day. It shifted over now. Instead of the seventh day, it was the first day because Jesus was risen on that day. Mark 16, 9. Revelation 1, verses 10 and 11. Again, I'll trust you to look this up. And the third reason is that when you look in the New Testament and we see believers, followers of Jesus, gathering for worship, it was on the first day of the week. It was on Sunday. You can look in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. You can look in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Okay. Technically, in other words, when we look at the Sabbath here as God is speaking to the people in Exodus chapter 20, technically the Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday. Though Christians have observed their Sabbath and rest on Sundays since the first century. Now, those who were Jewish Christians also oftentimes observed a Saturday Sabbath, but they also set aside that Sunday as a day of worship and rest, celebration, because this was part of being the new family. This is part of the new covenant that God brought us into. All right, so that leads us now to our second question. We got a little idea. What is a Sabbath? Our second question, what is it? What does it mean to remember the Sabbath? Now, remembering here, this word is more than just a fleeting thought. You know, you're wandering around the house. You're looking. I remember where I put my keys. Okay, that's a fleeting thought. The word remember here is a little deeper than that. Remembering means to actively focus your mind on something. So we would use maybe a word like meditate, think on, dwell on. So that's a little better word for us maybe to help us to latch on to what's being said here. When we're remembering the Sabbath day, we're like, oh, it's Sunday. No. It's intentionally focusing our mind on this day for a purpose. So, what are we to remember on the Sabbath? First of all, we're to remember that God was creator. It points us all the way back, remember, to Genesis chapter 2, God's creation, 6 days, rested on the seventh day. We're to remember that God is creator. God made the world. He spoke, brought everything out of nothing. What an awesome God. There, you know, I can say things at my house and it doesn't happen. I can't walk into the kitchen and say, dinner. Well, I can. Then my dog just looks at me like this. And so would Nancy. You know, I can't just walk in and go, dinner, and it happened. I can't walk in and go, empty the dishwasher, and it happened. Okay? I don't have that power. God, however, spoke, and he said, let there be light. Boom! There it was. Okay, so this is the God we're talking about. This is the creator we're supposed to remember. And this is important as we consider a Sabbath rest in our lives, is that there is a creator. There is someone who made us. And because he made us, he has the right and authority to speak into our lives and to call us to something that is better than what we're experiencing right now. We're to remember that God is our creator. Now, at the end of each day, as God finished his creation, what did he say? It's good. He looked at it. He goes, okay. All right, look at all those animals out there. Look at the fish swimming in the sea. Look at the birds flying in the air. Look at the trees blowing in the breeze. That's good. That's good. Now, on the sixth day, he made man and woman, Adam and Eve. And he stepped back, and what did he say on that day? It's very good. It's very good. Now, this is important because, remember, God made us in his image. So God made us to be not only part of his creation, but he made us to be creative. He made us to do things with this life he's given us, with these gifts he's given us. And so part of our need for Sabbath rest is a need to stop the process, the turmoil of creating, of making, of producing, to be able to step back and go, that was good. That was good. I hope that some of you are finding that in your lives, because most of you work, most of you are producing, most of you are creative in that way. And one of the things you need to understand is, in order to get the most out of your work, you've got to create a little breathing room to step back and go, that's good. That's good. Now, so we'll remember God's creator. We're also to remember that God is provider. Again, this is very important for us if we're going to find Sabbath rest. Remember that God is provider. God made more than enough for Adam and Eve. Abundance for Adam and Eve. And even after the fall, he continued to provide for them. When we look at the story of the Exodus, as God led the people out of Egypt, he provided for them. He gave them what they needed to escape. He gave them what they needed to get across through this Red Sea. He gave them what they needed in the wilderness. Water from a rock. Water from a rock. That's pretty good. Quail that just came down to the camp and said, waited for you to pick them up, pluck them and eat them. Manna, every day. For over 40 years, God provided for them in the wilderness. God is provider. We're supposed to remember that God is our provider. And do you think God is, after the commandments, after he got them in the promised land, say, okay, well, I don't provide for them anymore. I can sit back and they can handle it. They can take care of themselves. No. God is still your provider. Now you may work hard and you may earn a good income and you may be able to provide for your family, but I got to tell you what, you are not the provider. Your brain, God gave it to you. Your abilities, God gave it to you. Being able to get up in the morning and actually go to work, God gave it to you. He is still providing for you. And ultimately, what He has provided and what we celebrate this season is He has provided for us spiritually. He provided for our deepest need. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still in our sin, while we were still desperately separated from God, Christ died for us." Ultimately, this is our greatest provision, because this provision lasts forever. And the last thing we're to remember is that we're to remember that God has a plan and He has the power to accomplish that plan. God spoke, brought all things into being. God had a plan for creation. He made it happen. God had a plan for His people Israel. He made it happen. God had a plan for the salvation of humanity. He made it happen. And let me tell you something. You may not know this, but God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for your life. And if you'll let Him, He'll make it happen. Now, you may have some plans. You may have some dreams. You may have some goals. You may have some visions, things that you came up with on your own. But I got to tell you what. God has a plan that is better than anything you could ever dream up. And He wants to make it happen in your life. He has the power to do that. Now, these three things are important for us to remember. God is creator, God is provider, and God has a plan for us, and He can make it happen. These things are important to remember as we consider the Sabbath rest in our lives. So, we know now a little bit more about what the Sabbath is. We know what we're to remember when we remember the Sabbath. And now we want to answer the final question, how do we keep the Sabbath holy? Remember, holy, set apart, special, different, unique. I want to give you two words, and you take these two words, and if you don't get anything else out of today, these two words can help you to remember how to keep the Sabbath holy. Remember and rest. Remember, reflect. Remember, remember is not, that's a fleeting thought. Remember is dwelling on, thinking about, meditating on. And rest. Stop. Ceasing. Okay, if you can remember these two words, you're pretty much getting the whole thing in a nutshell. This is how we're to remember the Sabbath. And so what I'd like to do now is to give you some, I guess we call it principles, truths that we can keep the Sabbath holy in our hearts and in our lives. And the first one is this, and we need to get this. The Sabbath is not about rule keeping. The Sabbath is not about rule keeping. God was very serious about the need for human beings to rest. That's why in the Ten Commandments, He takes us by the shoulders and says, stop. Rest. He knew the need we had. So He's very, very serious about it. But you'll note, if you read through Exodus and Deuteronomy especially, if you read through there, the Sabbath laws that are given, there are very few specifics that are given about it, but they are pretty big ones. He says, don't gather wood, don't start a fire, don't transact business, and don't carry a load or a burden. Now, that's kind of how God expanded it, okay? And then people began to try to find loopholes. You know anybody like that? They're always looking for a shortcut, always looking for a loophole. We're like that. And so people began to say, well, you know, what is that? Don't carry a load. What is a load? And you know what? The religious leaders were more than happy to step in there and say, hey, we'll define it for you. And so what they did is they took what God gave, and then they began to add on to it and stack onto it and mold it and shape it. And here's what happened. God gave the Sabbath as a day of rest, a day to cease from carrying your burdens, and man turned it into a burden. Now you, let me, Well, what are we going to do? Let's go get the rule book. Let's go ask these guys over here. They know. And it became almost ludicrous counting the number of your steps that you took, because one more step, that's work. And so it just became a burden in and of itself when God never intended it to be that way. The Sabbath laws, they were intended as a time to encourage reflection, a time to encourage rest, not to make people fixate on a long list of rules. So here's the simple truth. Most of us know full well whether we are setting aside time dedicated to rest and reflection on what really matters or not, don't we? Most of us know. God is not out to beat you over the head with a rule book. Instead, He invites you to stop and rest. This is how I want you to begin to think about that we live not under law but under grace. I want you to begin to think about this command to Sabbath. Not as God standing there with a yardstick ready to beat us when we mess up, but as an invitation to rest. We've sent most of the kids off to Powerhouse now, so I guess it's safe to say this. Do you remember when you were younger how you fought, or how your children fought to take a nap? Oh, they were fussy. Oh, they were cranky. They were just, if you'll just take a nap. If you just take a nap, if you just rest, you'd be so much better. And I'd be so much better. And we'd invite them to rest. And then we'd get the duct tape out and, we'd go to... God's not getting the duct tape out. But God says, listen, I have an invitation for you. Rest. Stop. Rest. And remember and reflect. It's an invitation for you to gain something in your life that many of you have lost. The second truth principle: the Sabbath expresses our trust in the Lord's provision. If you go back this afternoon and read Exodus chapter 16, what you'll see, this has to do with the manna in the wilderness. This is actually in the study notes that come along with this in your grace notes this morning. But basically, let me give you kind of the overview of what happens. Okay, the people wanted food. They're grumbling about food. We don't have anything to eat. You know, our snacks have run out, and we're grumbling about food. So God says, okay, here's what we'll do. I'm going to provide for you every single day. I'm going to provide for you. And so what's going to happen is in the morning, it's going to be like a frost covering the ground. We had some of that this morning, didn't we? It'll be like a frost covering the ground. But when the frost is gone, it's going to leave this white, flaky, sweet, bread-like substance on the ground. And every single day, it's going to be there for you to go out and pick up as much as you want to eat that day. And you can bake it, and you can boil it, and you can fix it into cakes. You can, whatever you want to do, you can do, make Krispy Kreme donuts out of it. There it is. Here, I'm giving it to you every single day. They went out, they picked up as much as they wanted. God says, now hang on, one little thing here. Because of the Sabbath, because I want you to rest, I don't want you to have to get up on that day and go out and take your bowl or your basket and go pick this stuff up. So on Friday, you go out and you get twice as much. Don't worry, there'll be plenty out there. You go get as much as you want, you bring it in, and you go ahead and fix it that day. So on the Sabbath day, on your Saturday, you don't have to worry about fixing breakfast or lunch or supper. It's already made. It's already there. Enjoy it. Rest. Reflect. Relax. Now, of course, human beings being what human beings are, somebody got the wise idea, hey, it's Tuesday, and I really don't want to worry about cooking tomorrow. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out today, and I'm going to get enough for the week. So, hey, bring me the extra baskets. Give me the jars over here. Let's go out. Let's all go pick up as much as we can get. And then God said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Remember, I'm giving it to you daily. I'm providing for you daily. And so when they went the next day, so they go out on Tuesday to get all this stuff. The next morning, Wednesday, mom says, hey, go get me a handful of that manna. And Dad reaches his hand down in there and he scoops it out and comes out with this rotten, slimy mess with maggots all in it. Ew. Didn't quite work the way they planned. God said, don't do that. It'll be there tomorrow. Seriously, there'll be enough tomorrow. Now, on Friday, you go get twice as much. And then on Saturday, go put your hand, scoop it in there, and what you'll come out with is a handful of manna, perfectly preserved, ready for your day. There you go. I'm taking care of you. I'm giving you enough today to take care of tomorrow. Oh, we need to hear that from God. One of the reasons that we don't take time for rest and reflection in our own lives is because we really aren't sure that God's going to care for us, that He's going to give us enough that we can actually stop. When we cease to rest from our labors, what we're saying is God's not big enough and God is not faithful enough to trust. God's not big enough. I've got to do something on my own because I can't trust God to do it for me. All right, third principle here. The Sabbath was created for your benefit. God did not give these commandments. You know, He didn't come up with nine and go, okay, nine, that didn't work. I'm too OCD for that. Got to come up with another one. What could I do? Oh, Sabbath. God, you know, He wasn't just trying to round it out. Sometimes we'll do that, right? He wasn't trying to round it out. He also wasn't thinking, you know what? I don't think I've given them enough to do. Let me just add one more command in there. No, that's not why God gave that at all. God gave this command because He wanted to say to the people how important it was to stop the hustle and bustle, the machinery of life, so that they'll have time for rest and reflecting. Jesus made it very clear. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Get this. The reason God gave the Sabbath was for your benefit. It was for you. God didn't make man to serve the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath to serve man. God made it for you. We know that rest kind of repairs the body, it restores the mind, it refreshes the spirit. But rest is not what you saw with the hamster and the wheel. Rest is not going and going and going and going and going and going until you finally collapse. That's not what rest is. It's not what God intended rest to be. Instead, rest is regularly and intentionally ceasing from activity to avoid the great collapse. Oh, how much different is that? Rest is an intentional stoppage for our benefit. Okay, we'll go on. Number four, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees claim to be the arbiters, the lords. We'll tell you what the Sabbath's all about. We'll tell you. We'll fill in all the details for you. Just come to us. Now, here's what happened. Jesus and His disciples were out on the Sabbath, and His disciples got hungry, and so they reached over some of the wheat stalks, and they pulled off some of the grain, rubbed them in their hand to get husks off those, and then they ate the grain. Now, that doesn't sound like the snack you and I want. Give me some Oreos, something like that. But, you know, they were hungry, and so they took care of the need. And the Pharisees were apoplectic. You can look that one up too. All right. They were really, really out of, they got their, you know, nose out of joint over this thing because they're working on the Sabbath. And they had a little bit of a point, but Jesus had a point to make too. And He made it really, really well because on the Sabbath, He did two really big things that also kind of upset the Pharisees. One is He healed a man who was blind on the Sabbath day. The second thing was He healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees said, you can't practice medicine on the Sabbath? Are you kidding? That's work. And Jesus is like, You do know this guy was blind and now he sees, right? You do know this guy had a hand he couldn't use and now it's well and restored. You did notice that, right? And Jesus makes it abundantly clear, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I get to tell you what the Sabbath is. Not these guys who have the titles and nice offices. I get to tell you what the Sabbath is for. It's interesting that when God finished his work, he stopped. Do you know when Jesus finished his work on the cross, he said, "It's finished. It's finished." Jesus is our rest. When God mentioned the Sabbath all the way back in Genesis, and when he talks about the Sabbath here in the fourth commandment, and when Jesus refers to the Sabbath, we're being pointed forward, okay? Ever forward, ever forward, ever forward. And we are to enter into a rest that Jesus gives that is unlike anything that the world has to offer. We're invited to find our rest in the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord of rest, stillness. So Jesus could go, "My peace I give you." Not like the world gives it. My peace. My peace. My peace. And some of you, you work so hard and you've achieved so much and you really feel secure in your position, but when you stop, when you put your head on the pillow at night and the wheels finally start slowing down, there's no peace. You can't rest because you haven't found your rest in Him. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Let me give you one more and then we got to move on because time's quickly slipping by. Fifth and final, your Sabbath rest won't happen by accident. Your Sabbath rest will not happen by accident. You know you need rest. I don't have to convince you of that, okay? You know you need rest. You know that God has given you not only permission to rest, but God has invited you to rest. But unless you're intentional about it, it will never, ever happen. To treat our Sabbath day as holy is to see it as set apart and different from other days. This is really the key to having a Sabbath, that we set it apart and we see it as different from other days. Because if we treat it just like any other day, we are likely going to find very little rest. And I want to come out and confess to you right now, I really struggle with this. I really struggle with this. And not just because, hey, you're the preacher, you have to work on Sundays. For me, I have to find a day other than Sunday to rest and to reflect. I can come and worship and remember and reflect. Okay, but as far as the rest part of it, Sunday's not going to happen. Okay? There's always something else to be done, something more to be done, some other chore, some other thing. And I'm sitting there, and I'll sit there in the house, and I'll be in my recliner, and I'll be resting. And then my eyes, and I go, "Oh, I need to do that." Something comes through my mind, or I'll reach over, I'll get my laptop and go, "You know, maybe I can just answer those emails today." Because everybody knows when you send an email, it's supposed to be answered, you know, in 30 minutes or less. It's like, you know, pizza delivery. You got to get this thing back out. Cell phone, oh yeah, I got to respond to that, got to answer that. Oh, here goes my phone chiming again, got to take care of that. And there are times, but even when none of that's going on, Nancy will catch me up wandering around the den. And she'll look at me, "You're restless." And that's the perfect definition of it. I am restless. I feel like there's got to be motion, there's got to be activity, there's got to be productivity, there's got to be creativity. I've got to be doing something. Some of you feel the exact same way. And it's not that you're a type A personality. It's not that you're an Energizer bunny. It's just that you haven't figured out yet, maybe in one of you, what it is to rest. Somehow you don't think God is big enough that you can trust Him enough that you can actually stop and go, I think I'm going to do nothing today. What, the grass needs mowing. I think I'm going to do nothing. You know, you got to preach next Sunday. Sunday comes around with alarming regularity. Not today. Some of you need to learn to say that. Not today. Not today. Not today. You need to learn to trust God with the 6 days so that you can rest and reflect on your seventh, on that Sabbath. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary, burdened down, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That is Jesus' invitation to me. That is Jesus' invitation to you. And just like the other commandments we've already studied, Sabbath is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the law. It's a matter of the heart. It's you choosing to set aside time. This time is devoted to rest and remembering, to reflecting. This time is different from other time. This time is special. And I choose to rest. I choose to reflect. Here's the thing. You're not under the law. You're under grace. In other words, you don't have to. But God invites you to. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't take at least one moment here to give you some practical tips. Things that you might say, okay, I'm a bullet point list kind of person. All right, tell me something to do. Tell me how to apply this a little bit. These are not laws. These are merely suggestions, okay? I'm not going to play the role of Pharisee. Okay, first one is this. When it's time to work, work hard. One of the reasons we don't have a day of rest is because we don't use the other days and put them to good use working hard. Work hard. And then when it comes time to rest, rest. Take a nap. Some of you go, hey, I'm all for that. Tell my kids. I'm not saying lock them out of the house. But somehow you've got to find a time. And this is, you have to train your children. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. But you have to train your children that there is a time for work and there's a time for rest. They need, and you have to model it. Maybe they haven't learned it because they haven't seen it. So take a nap. Go for a walk. Again, Pharisees counted your steps. I'm not, my iPhone counts my steps, okay? All right? But that's not the same thing. Go for a walk. Enjoy the weather. It's going to be sunshiny, a little chilly, sunshiny day. Get out, enjoy it. Walk around a little bit. Interact with people. If you see your neighbor, stop, say hi. Read God's Word at a leisurely pace. I'm going to make a recommendation to you. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to make a recommendation. I think you need to have 2 Bibles. You need to have a Bible to study, and you need to have a Bible for leisurely reading. The Bible you study, you can get whatever translation, you know, New American Standard, the English Standard Version, King James, NIV, whatever it is. But then get something like the New Living Translation or the Message or something like that, that is much more conversational in tone. Now, that's not your study Bible. That's your leisure Bible. Something I can just pick up and read, and it's got the flow that kind of keeps me going with it. Okay, read God's Word at a leisurely pace. Read a book for sheer pleasure. Now, some of you aren't readers. I understand that. But there's something that happens in reading that you cannot get from watching a movie on television. Read for pleasure, to engage your mind, to change the pace of life. Play board games with your family. Now, wait a second. I wouldn't recommend Monopoly, because that's not very restful. But play something where you can all laugh and have a put together a puzzle. Some of you go, when was the last time I ever put together a puzzle? Might be a good idea. Change the pace. Get your mind somewhere else. Listen to some music. Visit a relative. Doodle. Get a piece of paper, just let your hand go. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You're not trying to show it to anybody. You're not entering an art contest. Just draw. Limit distractions. Internet, TV, movies, cell phone. There's the off button. Some of you don't know you actually can turn this thing off. Some of you need to. There are lots of ways that you can find to change the pace, to say, this time is going to be different than normal time. This is going to be unusual. I'm not going to wash the clothes. I could have washed the clothes yesterday. Here's what happens. We put off. And now we got this avalanche waiting for us on a day we wanted to set aside for rest and remembrance. This is how I have to do it. This is how I got started. I'm going to give you insight into my world, okay? Because I'm the guy whose mind is running 100 miles an hour in 40 billion different directions all at once. Is that ADD? Anyway, I was never diagnosed, so I'll say no. Okay, I'm that guy. Here's how I had to do it. Let me just block 3 hours. Let me just say, okay, I'm not sure I can handle it all day. Let me just set aside these 3 hours. For these next 3 hours, I'm going to let the grass grow. I'm going to let the clothes stay in the basket. I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm going to pick up a book. I'm going to pick up a sketch pad. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to pick my Bible up and just read it just for the sheer fun of it. And I'm going to make this time special. Got to find the way. Got to introduce it into your life. Now here's the truth. Every day is holy. Every day is holy because God gives you every day and God is present with you every day. But God invites you to rest. And I want to invite you to rest. Let's do this together. Start small if you have to. But find the time to breathe, to get some breathing room, to take a deep breath, and to really rest.